Revelation chapter 1 in your Bibles. In the sovereignty of God, he pulled back the curtain of heaven for the Apostle Paul on one occasion, and for the writer of our text, John, on another occasion, and gave them a glimpse of the most amazing series of events that this world will ever see. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. The size of the crowd at any event is always of interest. We say things like, how many do you think are here? When Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, that will be the most watched event in the history of the world. So that became the basis of my message this morning. And I have three thoughts. First of all, the time of the event. When will this event take place? The final coming of Christ to this earth. It is not the next event. That is called the rapture, the catching away of all the saints. That really quickened the hearts of the early believers. This never grows old. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 13. Paul says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, concerning those that have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we do, even so them also which sleep that have died in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep." I suspect that most of you here have someone that you love who was a believer in Christ who has died, and you know that at the rapture, the first resurrection, they will meet the Lord in the air just before you. The Lord has written us a word of comfort. Let's continue reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The rapture is not the event that we are talking about here in Revelation chapter 1, where every eye shall see him. He comes as a thief in the night at the rapture. When Jesus comes to the earth the second time, he comes with 10,000s of his saints, the Bible says, according to Enoch, the seventh from Adam. We will all be on white horses. And if you are my age, we were talking about it yesterday before visitation. We were talking about Hopalong Cassidy. Any of you remember him? Yes. What was his horse's name? There. Who said that? God bless you, Jeff. Topper was his name. Why was he called Hopalong? Okay. And he had a wooden leg. Hopalong Cassidy. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. We were talking about that yesterday just before visitation. Revelation chapter 19. Let's begin reading in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Folks, that's us. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Following the rapture will be a time of great tribulation on this earth. It will last for 7 years. Go back to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And look at verse 21. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." That is an incredible statement when you consider the time of the flood, and you consider the time of the Third Reich, and you consider other times that has been on this earth, a horrible time of tribulation. But there's a time coming that's worse than that. Those 7 years will give the world a look at what our planet would be without the church. This is what life would be like without Christians. You want me to read it again? "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." This is what it's going to be like, ladies and gentlemen. Let's pick it up in verse 27 of Matthew 24. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together." Immediately after this tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You have the rapture, you have the tribulation, and then you have Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. Second of all, the person of the event. It is my opinion that the world in which we live has an understanding of Jesus Christ based upon His first coming that would be inaccurate as related to His second coming. Let me draw a contrast of the two, based upon John's vision in Revelation chapter 1. His person was so immense, John couldn't put it into words, and it all became symbolic. Here's how he said it. Back now to Revelation chapter 1. He said it this way. Look at verse 12. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Relate that to verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels, that is the pastors of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Verse 13 now. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. That is a description of the garments worn by both the priests and the king. Look at verse 14. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. Ladies and gentlemen, that speaks of the eternal existence of God, the age factor, as we can relate to it. We can't relate to someone that always was and always will be. And so John just talks about his hair. And it also speaks of his purity. And then the last part of the verse, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Nothing can be hid from Jesus Christ. Verse 15, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace. The brass speaks of judgment. It speaks of the fact that Jesus walked to Calvary, beaten by sin. And then the Bible says, and his voice as the sound of many waters. That is the voice of authority. And now verse 16. And he had on his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. The way that he comes the second time was not the way that he came to Bethlehem. When Jesus came the first time, Isaiah described it as a sheep that is led to the slaughter, mild and meek and stricken and wounded and bruised and stripped for our sins. When he came the first time, he allowed himself to be mistreated by man. please understand perfectly well that the meek and the lowly Savior who was laid in a manger and died on the cross, damp from the spittle of man and his own blood, is not the same appearing person that is coming back. When he returns, he will be King of kings and Lord of lords. When he came the first time, a little political hack named Herod tried to kill him and he had to flee. When he returns, the Bible says that every knee shall bow. When he was baptized, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Lambs are cute and innocent and helpless. It is a favorite stuffed toy. But when he comes again, ladies and gentlemen, he will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will be Ariel, which means the Lion of God. There's a little difference between the bleat of a lamb and the quaking roar of a lion. The first time he was despised and rejected of man. When he returns, the whole universe will sing his praises. When he came the first time, Isaiah said, "There is no beauty that we should desire him." When he returns, he will be the rose of Sharon, the bride and morning star, the one that is altogether lovely, the lily of the valley, the fairest among 10,000 to our soul. America has a warped view of Jesus Christ. We have a warped view of his holiness and his dignity and his character and his power. Jesus Christ is still mistreated in our society. But we are so wrong. Notice what John did when he saw the glorified Christ. Verse 17. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." John had seen some things in his life. He walked 3.5 years with Christ on this earth. He saw him walk on water. He saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. He saw him open blind Bartimaeus' eyes. He saw him feed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 little fish. He saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. When you come to the book of Revelation, he saw the tribulation period. He saw the Antichrist. He saw the false prophet. He saw the beast. He saw the great white throne judgment. He saw hell and a lake of fire and a new heaven descend from God like a diamond city. But when he saw the glorified Christ, he fell at his feet as dead. We live in a world that mocks Christ and his church, but not for long. Third, the impact of the event. First of all, to the unsaved. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 again. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen." Why are they wailing? Ladies and gentlemen, they have trodden underfoot the shed blood of the Son of God, and now it's time to face him. It verifies that the Bible is right and that Jesus is God. Even so, amen. They wail because of the hopelessness of their situation. There's no place to hide. There's nothing to be done. Go with me to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? What is this hopelessness based on? Go with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no hope for the unsaved. When you die in your sin, you will stand before God, and this just reviews what's going to happen to you at that time. Look at chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the impact to the unsaved. What is the impact to the saved? A new heaven, a new earth. We will have the mind of Christ. All tears will be wiped away from our eyes. Death is abolished. There's no more goodbyes. There's no more hospitals. There's no more doctor decrees. We have a new body. We have a new understanding. Look at chapter 22 in Revelation. Let's begin reading in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. He says that to you and I this morning. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. If you're here this morning without Christ, please come to Christ this morning. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your wonderful word that so speaks to our heart. Holy Spirit, thank you for taking the word of God and impressing upon us that it is absolute truth and we trust it, and our life has been made so much better because we believed it and you saved our soul. And oh, Father, there's one individual here this morning that's not saved. May they listen to the Holy Spirit this morning that will say, oh, please accept Christ as your personal Savior. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in an invitation hymn.